This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Just really trying to evaluate the overall football player. The other piece, I kind of press pause on just a little bit in terms of how well they connect with their teammates, this and that. Sometimes you see some things jump off the page. Max's situation's already been pretty documented and what a kind of vibrant personality he is. Mm-hmm. You know, a number of guys come here and it's new to them. And this is now they're small fish in a big pond as opposed to the other way around. So they don't always show us maybe who they exactly are until they get more comfortable and the trust builds a little bit more and they can feel free to open up. That piece varies a little bit person to person.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer is stank-eyeing me from across the room as I made in the break another mention of navy blue and a possibility of, hey, the Bills should outline their numbers on their uniform in navy blue instead of black. And still getting stank-eyed with no verbal communication. It's all nonverbal right now.
You're going to send me to therapy.
I need an adult.
You're going to be the reason I go to therapy at some point. And if friends are the ones sending you to therapy, isn't that the right way to go?
Yeah, they're not. I feel like it's not a true friendship unless one ends up being in an intensive therapy session. I feel like it's an even trade-off, right?
I don't know. That doesn't sound too good, actually.
No?
No.
It's not a little toxic.
But man, your ideas, sometimes, man. I don't know sometimes I think, why am I here?
All I got to keep the eyes open. Keep the eyes open.
Navy uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with the early 2000s.
Bringing Navy back.
Everyone did it. Everyone did it. That was the problem. Everyone did it.
Who else?
The Sabres did it.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I was thinking NFL only. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, if you want to look at the NHL, almost all the teams did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was disgusting.
A lot of Royal Blue did go to Navy.
The Rangers had an alternate uniform that was Navy. The Islanders made their primary that was Navy. It was this sick fascination with the color Navy Blue instead of going with something cleaner. That, like, those teams all walked it back.
They did walk it back. The Sabres took quite a long time to walk it back, but they did.
It's like Navy stinks as a jersey color. This is where I side with another Joe.
Oh, Sneaky Joe?
Sneaky would absolutely be on my side here in the battle against anything navy jerseys.
Are you against, like, anti-navy blue in general?
Yes, because on television it doesn't look good.
The Patriots look fine.
Mm.
No?
The Titans look like garbage.
You just don't like the Titans. I can't accept
they
that
They still
answer.
Look like garbage.
I like the Titans' Oilers
considering
uniform.
Considering they went to more Navy in their uniform, it looks worse.
I don't like the Navy on Navy, I guess.
Yeah.
But
Nashville stopped using Navy as its primary and went with yellow jerseys. It is still a main color of their franchise, but they now have yellow jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I the whole jersey conversation can get interesting because I feel like there's so many different avenues it could take.
Doesn't use navy.
No.
After they did.
Seattle, those navy uniforms look
Seattle,
good.
Seattle, I think, is one of the few that's fine.
Because they have gray and green. It kind of works.
Edmonton used navy. They walked it back. It's like navy is a bad color for television.
We should. I think we're going to have to experiment. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see what's going on. But the
Columbus is one team that will stick with navy, and that's just going to happen. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm. In case you missed it, by just tuning in.
In case you missed it, Joe's trying to send me up a wall.
In the last segment of hour two, navy blue Bills jerseys. Could that be the rivalry jersey?
No.
Do they go back to the 2000s?
No.
Or do they go 90s and just change the stripe on the arm with a red helmet?
They can't do it. They can't do that. The Rams had navy. They got rid of that.
Honestly, it should just be the current uniform with a red helmet, but the Buffalo standing on top of a dolphin. If we're going to call them rivalry uniforms.
Look, it just... the fact that you said the navy uniform idea, I don't know what I'm doing with my life sometimes.
What, it's Saturday at 1 p.m. You don't want to talk about the Bills Navy Toronto series Navy uniforms? Toronto's in the NHL playoffs.
I did say something about a programming note. Don't make me hold up to that.
What, you're going to therapy?
No, pile driving you through the table.
Oh, that's right.
Time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to DJ in Lockport. DJ, how you doing? Help me out of this spiral.
I'm telling you, the second he said that, all I could see is J.P. Lossman rolling out to the right and just launching an interception. I want no part of it at all.
Thank you.
I feel like this organization, just like the Sabres did, they made the right decision and went back to the old blues, to the Royal Blues.
Yeah.
The city is dying to see the greatest quarterback we've ever had. I grew up watching Jim Kelly. Josh Allen already is better than Jim Kelly, in my opinion. I get it. Four Super Bowls. But we want to see this greatness in that red helmet, that old 90s style throwback uniform. They were amazing. Just like the Sabres are with the black and reds, it's just a different feel. They even play better. I think statistically they play better with those jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea. We were just so good back then. It's like they have a gold mine just waiting to make the right decision. I'm not going to lie. The chicken wing uniform sounds appealing to me just a tad bit. It does. But they have something they could just make a simple idea happen. And the city will love it, because if anything other than that, I feel like they're going to get backlash, and it's going to be bad, because we've been all over online. People have been, like, crawling to get this jersey and that combo, that helmet combo with Allen in it, and I just think it's a no-brainer to me. So we'll see what happens, and go Bills. So thanks, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Appreciate it, DJ, and I hear you driving. Drive safe.
Yeah, go Bills.
But, hey. No, it absolutely has to do with the fact that the Navy uniforms also...
Trauma.
...were also among the worst era of football within this organization.
See, you were in therapy for the Navy uniforms back in the day. And
it was also the team.
Yeah, yeah.
The team did not help.
But I couldn't handle myself when he said J.P. Lossman rolling out and throwing a pick. Oh, man.
So, but it's also DJ's point of the red helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do for an alternate uniform is just... change a helmet color.
Yeah.
I think because with the current uniforms, it works.
Mm-hmm. I wish they just would change the helmet in general, all time, red helmet. It just looks better.
And not many teams have it. Only one other does.
Wasn't it because Jim Kelly was colorblind, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that?
What, he couldn't play against the Chiefs?
No, it was
or
easy.
The Jets?
The helmet was easier for him to distinguish than a white helmet. Like, it helped him.
I don't know. That was not on me.
No,
I'm not answering that question.
No. And I'm not saying he was or anything like that. I've just heard that through the grapevine.
Yeah, no. Nope.
You don't know what's happening.
I'm not grapevining nothing.
No.
So it is kind of funny. A red helmet would have avoided the colorblind game, the infamous colorblind game, where the Bills had the white helmet and red uniform and pants, and the Jets had a white helmet and the green uniform and pants. That was infamously now known as a colorblind game.
He was red-green colorblind.
Yep.
So the red helmets to him.
So people that are red-green colorblind, that game years ago,
mm-hmm. Oh, the Jets Bills game.
Yes.
Yeah, the color rush game. One of the first color rush games.
It was
Christmas game.
Yeah. It was a color rush game. And yeah, anyone that was red green colorblind,
I'm looking at light gray and dark gray.
You better have had audio, because otherwise you did not know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but again, just to know though, like so many people walk back, so many teams have walked back Navy. It just makes too much sense that you're wrong.
I get it. I'm a sicko. Okay.
Yes, you are. But I also know that with things that are promotional, they don't typically walk the standard color ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying that not only put me in a you're wrong, it also gave me a small degree of fear that you might call it.
that could...
You might be right that it happens. You're wrong about it being a good idea.
But that could be what they go with.
But that you might be right that they do something
they're
like
this.
They're
still in Madden every year.
Yes.
So they're truly not forgotten.
I wish they were.
But here's the thing. I think the home... if we had to distinguish between the two, the home jersey... much more appealing to look at the all-Navy than the white with royal blue numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the away was atrocious. And then, like, that royal blue shoulder line thing.
Oh,
it was bad. Yeah. It was really bad.
It was really bad.
Trent Edwards in that.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yep. Yep.
See, like, I get that. But, like, the home Navy blue was better than that. We have to admit that.
Because it was all one static color, yes.
Yes.
But, I just...
That's when I, but I get it.
I got a legitimate chill down my spine thinking about those uniforms.
What? Do you think they'll be like the sheeny?
And not a good chill.
The sheeny like Reebok look, or will they be like the Nike look? That's the question I have.
I hope you're wrong. That they're not.
I'm hoping
that we never have to see Navy with the Buffalo Bills ever again. Mm. We'll go back to the phones though. I will say, the one thing you did is you got people joining us here today. Louie and Hamilton, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, get back to what you're saying about Jim Kelly. Yes, that is correct. He changed the color to red because he couldn't distinguish the color. Steve Tasker also had mentioned that earlier on the radio, on your radio show, when he does his podcast. He had mentioned it about a week ago or something like that. But anyway, moving forward, guys. I look forward. Like, apparently, there's a new uniform coming out. Am I correct on that?
Yep.
That's rivalries.
What sparked this, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I look forward to it. I hear it's going to be a red helmet, right? And we don't know anything else about it, do we?
We're hoping it's going to be a red helmet. The issue we're having is we don't know whether it's going to be the navy blue uniform with the red helmet or the 90s uniform with the red helmet.
You know all that matters with that uniform?
Mm-hmm.
As long as Josh Allen's in it. It doesn't matter what color it is. It could
That's
be whatever,
point.
Right?
Louie, you do have a point.
But okay, if I could quickly say on the defense.
Yeah.
You know what? We had to make these moves that we had to make because, as great as Josh Allen is, he cannot play defense. And I really felt bad for the guy. I'll be honest with you. You know what? When it's third and long or fourth and whatever, you know, even in the championship games, I mean, we couldn't get these guys off the field. You know, we had to be able to put pressure and stop the opposing team's offense. And I think it's a great, great move. You know, if one of these guys becomes a really good player, we won. One of these defensive ends, like Jackson Landon, I believe his name.
Landon Jackson.
TJ or the other big boy, I can't remember. But
Joey Bosa,
yep. Guys, anybody, any combination, two or three guys may come in, we're going to be great. We're going to be great on defense. I like that we addressed the corner. I think we got two steals later in the rounds with those two corners, Strong being one of them, and I can't remember the other kid from Ohio State. But I think we did really, really well. I look really forward to this season. Barring any major injury, this team, I think, I'm going to say it right now, because I called it when Jim Kelly, when Josh Allen came drafted. I said he was going to be a great player. I know it's going to be strong if I was wrong. We are going to the Super Bowl this year. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. But we are going to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying we're going to win it, I don't know, but we're going to the Super Bowl this year.
Louis, I hope you're right, and I appreciate the call there. Thanks for everything there.
He's right.
I could wax poetic about the defense all day.
Yeah.
So I could avoid you talking about Navy uniforms.
The defense might look pretty good in a Navy uniform in a game this season. Who knows?
Stop.
Listen, I'm not trying to say it. I genuinely think that might be an avenue they take. Like, that's the thing. I think it is a possibility. There's a non-zero chance they're playing in a Navy uniform for a throwback.
I think I'm going to, like, take one of these extra hats and just, like, throw it at you. Because it's an HR complaint if I grab a chair. What are you doing to me, man?
I don't know. I could be the walking... I'm just putting you... You're going to go to therapy. Like that doesn't sound good on paper. My coworker's sending me to therapy.
Well, the thing is that this is all my fault. Let's be real here.
Well...
All of this is my fault.
You also mentioned something else uniform-wise in the blue helmet that they've... Josh Allen has worn the black as well. He wore a black helmet. So there are other variations
that we're not seeing coming.
Yeah. Like, they could... Like, we're looking at...
It control everyone that wants a red helmet
right.
by doing a black or a red helmet.
Yeah. And we're looking at the two past on-field versions of the uniform. There are probably concepts that were tossed around that they could
throw
in there.
There's concepts that are going to go in there that we've not seen.
Right. Like a city uniform. It could be a uniform based on the city of Buffalo.
The Lions have
the Ford
a black alternate uniform.
They have a logo based off of the Ford Mustang. Like, they changed things for that. So it could be something similar to that too. But we're just looking at past field representations. Yeah. That's really it.
Yeah. So that's where, like, I'm interested to see where that whole thing goes.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And we're not going to know for a little bit. That's the problem.
We're going to know
the games. We'll know who they're playing. It's going to be against the Dolphins, Patriots, or Jets.
There is going to be probably two uniforms leaked on that day.
Yes, probably. They
just
have to
get
something.
People going.
Yeah. And it could be the Bills. Because it's going to be one of the two divisions that have it in the first year.
And the Bills are a big draw.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, Buffalo... Here's your navy blue jersey. I can see it now.
Stop.
Oh, you're playing the Dolphins in Buffalo? Prime time?
I wish.
Navy blue with a red helmet.
You're seriously going to literally send Derek into therapy?
I think the asylum more than therapy at this point. It's starting to get too far.
If we were streaming.
Yeah, if the cameras were on.
You would not see my face because my hand is covering it.
I'd be intrigued to see what the bullpen thought. I'm not going to lie.
You wouldn't see my face right now. My hand is over my face.
No.
And not conventionally because I'm wearing glasses.
Right, you can't.
Because I'm a nerd.
You can't palm your face with glasses.
It takes more effort to do that. So, like.
But all things aside, I do like a new uniform being put out there. The color rush was great for the first season.
Honestly, it would have been better if it was just the red jersey and you got white pants.
The white pants, yeah. But then you look like the Patriots. I don't like that about them. But then again, I'm a hypocrite because I like the navy blue jerseys and they look like the Patriots. So I don't know where I stand on that. I'm in limbo.
Maybe you're now seeing the...
No, I like the Navy, though. I'm not going to lie. It's because I grew up with that.
I grew up
with the 90s. I grew up with that. Do you get it? Like, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yes and no, but most of my football watching was with those uniforms.
Navy blue?
Yes.
Yeah. I've only seen the documentary with the 90s jerseys.
So.
That's really it.
Yeah, like when I was a child, like, yeah, I watched them, but I don't remember much about them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a good amount about those uniforms.
Yeah.
But even so. When I would play ESPN NFL 2K5 on the PlayStation 2.
I found that the other day at my house.
I would try as often as possible to change myself to the 90s uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the combo they have now, which was back earlier in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was the white helmet and the blue pants.
I put the red helmet on everything in Madden or whatever mm-hmm. I play. The red helmet is a non-question.
It's a fun aesthetic, and I do hope that they finally listen with that, but I have... way too much of an inkling at this point of, like, in my gut that they're not going to do a red helmet for the rivalries thing just to troll everyone that wants it.
100%. It's going to be the chicken wing jersey.
No.
It's got to be.
It's not going to be the chicken wing jersey. It's going to be something entirely different, though.
It's going to be a blue cheese themed jersey.
I doubt that they're going
to. It's just got crumbly bricks of moldy cheese around it.
Because it's about rivalry. It's not about cities necessarily. It's about the rivalries. It's about the hatred.
Right. It should be a standing buffalo on top of a dolphin. Like, if we're really going to do something like that, let's take it all the way. What do you think?
I don't know what to think anymore.
Navy blue, standing buffalo on top of a dolphin.
I don't know what to think anymore.
Yes. Can I hammer that? Yes.
I don't. You are rendering me.
Speechless?
Speechless in a sense.
It doesn't happen frequently.
In a business where we're required to talk. You do realize that, right?
Yeah, I'm nerfing you.
You're not just nerfing me. You're subjecting us to fines.
No.
If there's no audio for a certain amount of time, that is rendered finable.
Well, I'll tell you what. In about 5 minutes, just over 5 minutes, the voice of the Bandits, John Gertler, is going to set things back on track. We're going to get into some NLL playoffs talk. The final, the Bandits' fifth consecutive trip. We're going to get out, though, so we can get right on time to Mr. John Gertler. So stay with us. Thank you for staying through the Jersey Talk if you did. This is Sports Talk Saturday.
Love people chiming in, too.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. That's off-season taste for you. We'll have more of it. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dane Smith with the ball inside the Vancouver zone. Scores! The Great Dane! Hesitated, stuttered, and let it go, and found twine.
The Bandits are once again in the NLL final.
I love that that's a thing we get to say every year.
Once again.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk more about it, we've got the man who you just heard from there. John Gertler on the call. John Gertler on the West Her Hotline. Here with us now as we don't know who the Bandits will be playing, but we know when games 1 and 2 will be next weekend on Friday and Saturday. John, it's Derek and Joe here. Appreciate being able to talk to you once again as the Bandits are again in the NLL Finals.
Hey, great to have you on the line. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, John. And once again, the Bandits being back in the NLL Finals. We don't know who they are going to end up playing as of yet. It is still to be determined between, I do believe that is Halifax and Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it does look like the Bandits, they are, once again, one of the best teams. They stay the best team from start to finish this year and have an opportunity not only to make the three-peat happen, but even more impressively, it is the fifth straight year that they are in the finals.
It is pretty amazing. I mean, this team right now is stoked and ready to go. I'm up at the Toronto Rock Athletic Center and just an hour and a half through what I would consider a very strenuous practice in preparation for Friday night's encounter at KeyBank Center. The guys, this is their first get-together since flying home on Sunday, and they're just letting the wheels kind of start rolling, and they started practice on a very slow pace. And now, as I just went outside the Toronto Rock Athletic Center, they were into a full 5-on-5 practice. So they've got it going. I was talking to a couple of the players before practice this afternoon and said, you know, how do you feel about going into the Friday night encounter after a week off. And, you know, the straight answer said, hey, we just played 12 games in 10 weeks. And we relished the week off and very well experienced at that, because at the start of the regular season, you know, they had a game and then a week off and a game and a week off. So they're pretty familiar with it. And these guys are pros, and they just picked it up right where they left off. And what I witnessed earlier this afternoon is, like, these guys are just they're primed and ready and not missing a beat right at the moment.
John, I remember talking last season, and, you know, the back-to-back, they were in ice baths on the bus back from Albany. They get some extended time off, as you mentioned, and that comes at nothing short of a dominant two-game win over over Vancouver. And Matt Vince was a huge player in that, really being dominant in the net. I guess...
Playing the best position of his career and showing why he is the greatest goaltender of all time in the National Lacrosse League. And I'm sure, in speaking with him again this morning, the fact of it, he says, I've started my preparation now, and he goes through a very strenuous sequence on his own, and then certainly in today's practice, and then he'll begin to pick up where he left off, as he said beforehand. I'm crossing the T's, I'm dotting the I's, and we'll be ready for Friday night. They'll also have a practice on Thursday, which they'll shake things out. And by that time, obviously, they'll know who they're going to face. So they'll begin to game plan. But what I've witnessed so far this afternoon is that they're kind of mixing in both of what they should prepare for, either Halifax or Saskatchewan, two entirely different teams.
John Gertler on the Western Hotline. Again, the Bandits starting the NLL Finals coming up on Friday. John, I've been interested in this player all year, how he has grown into a new role. It's Ian McKay. McKay being given more of an offensive role as the team has necessitated it, and a career high in goals. He leads the Bandits in this postseason with 9 goals in the playoffs. What has it been like watching Ian McKay going from the transition primary role there to now being given the opportunity on the offensive side of the boards and being a threat to put the ball in the net?
No question. He's a 200-foot player. He understands the parts and pieces of responsibilities that he has, and now coming out as a part of the offense, he understands his positioning and has such a good nose for the net, have you, in an area where he just feels very comfortable about shooting. And the more he plays up front, the slower the game is going to get for him, and he really can kind of identify what shot he really wants to take. And it's just, I mean, he's phenomenal, whether he's behind the net or whether he's dashing in on a break, whether he's a part of the transitionary process. He knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And I think it's a combination of all of the players together, the 5 on the floor that know his positioning. And the better he can get into an area of scoring, the better the Bandits are going to play. But on the other side, for the opposing team, now they have to figure out how they're going to cover number 4. And don't forget, you've got 92 and Dane Smith and 22 and Josh Byrne, and then 95 and Chase Fraser and number 1 and Dehoka Nanacoke and 91 and Kyle Buchanan. All of these guys can be number 1 scorers on any other team. And now you've got to combine all together. And then you've got Ian McKay that's going to join the scoring, and then Chris Kluche as well. I mean, just a phenomenal offensive attack for the Bandits going into this finals. Whether it's against Saskatchewan or Halifax, they're going to have their hands full.
So speaking of the series between Saskatchewan and Halifax, only one game's been played. So game 2 is tonight, and then on Sunday, the possibility – no, Monday – or Sunday.
Sunday.
Sorry, just looking at the
Sunday
schedule. On Sunday, that's a possible game 3. Doesn't give them a lot of time to really get into the swing of things compared to the Bandits, basically championship bye week. What have you seen in game 1 of that series, and what are you looking for in these next 2 games for the Bandits, either opponent?
Either Halifax or Saskatchewan can turn the tables on each other. Earlier in the season, during the regular schedule, Halifax just dominated Saskatchewan. And then Saskatchewan coming back into their game number 1 you know, it was kind of a seesaw battle back and forth, and then Saskatchewan just took off. Anytime you've got Shanks, who's a former Halifax player that can score six goals right away, and then certainly get a great contribution from Zach Manns. Saskatchewan has a well-rounded type of roster, and similar to Buffalo's defense, where they've got some great outstanding defensive players, and Frank Chiliano, certainly a great goaltender on Saskatchewan's side, and whether you know it's Hutchcraft or Warren Hill on the other, it doesn't matter. These two teams are going to battle it out, not only tonight, but if there's a game three, it'll be tomorrow. Kind of a weird schedule. You know, they open up in Halifax, and then they're moved the entire series over to Saskatchewan for 2 and 3. So both teams have to battle. I would imagine that Saskatchewan will try to pick up where they left off and dominating what they did in game number one in Halifax tonight. But, you know, certainly Halifax can turn the tables. They have the scoring ability with all of those guys that are involved in the Halifax side. And, you know, it will almost be, I would figure, tonight last goal wins, and if not going into overtime, you know, whoever's going to take it. And then if it's forced game three, I mean, those guys have to pick up the pieces and play again. Then if it's that situation, they've got to recalibrate and figure things out, and then whoever's going to come to Buffalo, whether it's Halifax or Saskatchewan, and then prepare for the Bandits, who will be certainly in waiting for Friday night. And so far, what I've seen today at practice here in Oakville, man, the Bandits, they didn't miss a step. Yeah, sure. I think the coaching staff did a great job today by starting practice off very slow. Get the guys to just do a trot. Get them involved in a little bit of one-on-ones and maybe just some dashes. What they did at the beginning of today's practice was they used the whole field from 200 feet. Just let the guys run back and forth, take shots back and forth, but keep a cadence going, and then increasing the cadence as it went where they started to sprint. So I think kudos to the coaching staff and the training staff to say, okay, we're going to start these guys slow. We're going to pick up the pace a little bit. And now, since I just went out the doors, they're playing 5-on-5, and they're playing like it's a game right now. So, and I'm sure, you know, conservative in their side of the fence are just saying, hey, we don't want to go totally. But I wasn't worried. But on the other hand, you know, everybody's going to say, is it going to be a benefit for them on the week off? I would say yes, because a lot of the guys are banged up. And I think the week off kind of opened up the little bit of the relax, a little bit of the muscles and the strained muscles and the nicks and bruises that you get in this game anyway. So I think just with the experience that the Bandits have, that the week off did them good. You know, it'll get them ready to go. And certainly, again, the canvas of players, they don't care who they play. They're just ready and so excited to open up on Friday night at home at KeyBank Center.
John Gertler on the Westshore Hotline here with us. I should say it this way. Finalist for the Tom Borelli Media Person of the Year Award, John Gertler is on with us right now. John, congratulations, by the way, for being named a finalist here for the Tom Borelli Media Person of the Year. I would be remiss if we didn't talk to you and not be able to bring this up for you. So congratulations on being a finalist there.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. It's a wonderful honor to have. And you know, when I started with the Bandits back in 2004, Tom Borelli worked very closely with me. You know, a great reporter of the Bandits from day one. He kept all of the statistics from every game. And when I went into starting to call the games, he was right there with me to help me not only on what to look for, but stats to keep and to always be available in consultation to, you know, help me along with the game. And Tom's, you know, during his time, he was just such a wonderful guy from a personality sense, you know, just helped me out from square one. And then, you know, to have Tom with me during that time at the beginning of my career with the Bandits, all the way up until his unfortunate and untimely death, he was there all the time. I asked him questions. He was always there to give me the rundown of this, that, and the other, which was wonderful. And then to couple that, to have guys like Randy Mearns, who I worked with for the 19, 20 years, and also to have Darris Kilgore as the head coach work with me and teach me the game. That was just a really great combination, a great trio. And today, now, John Tavares and Steve Dietrich continue to teach me the game. So it's been an ongoing process. It almost seems like yesterday that I had started with the Bandits, but you know, here we are, 2025, and again, being a part of a club that's got two championships back-to-back under the belt, and they're going for another one.
John, we are looking forward to you giving that call, as you always do here with us, and I hope you have yourself a great, relaxing week so you can be ready for a pair of games here on Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be ready to go, and thanks to Alan and Kevin Carr of Odyssey to put us on WGR, and we'll have that pregame show beginning on Friday night at 7 o'clock right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
There it is. John even hitting the promo for us. John, appreciate it. And
congratulations again.
Congratulations again, and hopefully we talk soon on the other side with a third Bandits championship in a row.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, John. That's John Gertler on the Wester Hotline.
Getting exciting in Bandit land. I mean, there's still a lot of anticipation because, again, yeah, as we've talked about, there's a lot to wait still, a long time, but it's worth it. Yeah. They're going to come out hungry, excited. I can't wait. I'm ecstatic for another playoff run.
This will be awesome for this to be a chance for three straight. It's downright dominant and almost hilarious to a point. You had players like John Tavares and Mark Steinhaus and Darius Kilgore and so many players that you can go through the history of this team, and you're seeing it again. Dane Smith, Josh Byrne, Matt Vince. But now this year, I paid attention to it. Ian McKay has become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's being given more of the offensive shifts and he's capitalizing.
Yeah.
Because he has two of the best players in the league helping set it up. It helps. That's going to help you. You have Dane Smith, who's assist totals are obnoxious. He knows how to find a play. He's always two steps ahead of you. And now McKay, career high in goals throughout the regular season, leads the team in points in the postseason.
Scored 7 in the 2-game series with Vancouver.
And to be ahead of Byrne and Smith.
Yeah.
Scoring in the playoffs, that's a big deal.
Even speaking with Dave Buchanan last week, he was wanting that more offensive role, and look at what happens when you give it to him.
And yeah, he's taking advantage.
Taking full advantage of
it. He's taking advantage of it. He is becoming that third option, and a dangerous one at that. So I'm intrigued to see how this goes. You brought up something that was very interesting, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Saskatchewan and Halifax, if it goes 3, they have a terrible schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would play tonight, then tomorrow night.
So a back-to-back.
You'd have a back-to-back, and then you're flying out to Buffalo.
Yep, and you have 5 days. 4, really. Yeah. 4 of preparation, and then Buffalo, meantime, has had close to 14 days, so 2 weeks.
And we saw how dominant they were when they had time off to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of scary. Because they were not just good, they were hilariously good.
Yep.
To start the year. Because they had so much rest. And a chance to get some guys to recover, that's a big deal.
It's huge. It's huge. They're going to be rested, tapered, ready to go. It's really exciting. I can't wait.
By the way, just to be cleared up on something, it was the uniform talk. You'd mentioned something about what prompted the switch between the white helmets to the red. It was Ferguson.
Joe Ferguson. Yes, Joe Ferguson.
Not Kelly that caused the switch.
Both colorblind. But both were,
hey, you know what?
So both of them couldn't watch the Color Rush game.
Not happily, at least.
Not happily.
Yes. So, and we will never talk again about a certain color.
Navy blue?
We'll be back to wrap up Sports Talk Saturday coming up here next on WGR. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday.
Wrapping it up.
Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you. Wrapping up your weekend.
Actually, just kicking it.
Is it kicking it off? Not really.
Technically, Sunday is not part of the weekend.
Technically, Sunday is not part of the... Explain every Bills weekend ever.
It's a weekday.
No.
Sunday is the start of the new week. It's a week beginning, not a weekend.
We don't have enough time for this.
It's a week beginning.
We don't have enough time for this, literally.
Friday, Saturday is your weekend.
Stop. I don't know what kind of chaos gremlin you woke up as today, but I'm not a fan of it.
He chose fighting words, Derek. He chose fighting words.
I woke up today. I literally rolled over in bed, and I was like, I'm sending Derek Kramer to therapy today.
Yep, that was the goal.
Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. We did it. We're here.
Navy blue and Sunday's a week beginning.
We don't have time for this.
That did it.
This is a non-factor right now, mostly because we don't have time for this. I only have time to do this.
Time is relative.
Two things. One, Stuart Skinner starting game three for Edmonton. That's not boding well for the Oilers. Skinner got pulled after game two against the LA Kings. Calvin Pickard had gone in net and had not looked back.
Is that a Pickard navy blue uniform to you?
No. They don't. We don't have time for this. Get out of here. Because the main thing I want to do is thank our guests.
Yes, thank you very much.
Paul Hamilton in the first hour talking everything hockey, as Paul is just out there doing everything. He even has a Bills mini camp.
He does.
That he's got to take care of.
And Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio in the noon hour. We talked a lot about Bills mini camp, but more on the schedule in and of itself and a lot of the interesting discussions that can be had about that when that releases on Wednesday.
Yep, expect his mock schedule too.
John Gertler, who we just had on to talk about the Bandits, the fifth straight appearance, looking for the third straight championship, and the fact that John is up for the Tom Borelli Media Person of the Year.
So congratulations to him again. And if the Bandits win, it's their seventh title, most in league history, surpassing the Rock and the Red Wings / Halifax now. Firewolves.
You mean Nighthawks.
Nighthawks.
Yep.
Yep.
So thank you to all of them for joining us. Thank you to the ones that called about Navy Jersey Madness. And
there'll be more of that.
Anyone that listened here today on Sports Talk Saturday, for Evan on the board, for my host Joe Kelly, I am Derek Kramer. Enjoy your weekend. And just remember, never get boneless wings from Ohio.